If I'm hiring for a web design role and I click your portfolio and I do not see in any thumbnails of your projects that you're displaying a website, I'm leaving your portfolio site. I'm sorry. That's just the way that it goes, because I know that I've got like 300 other applications to go through. And if you're not showing me a website when I first land on your portfolio, you're telling me I don't specialize in this. And I'm saying I need someone to specialize in that skill. And so I'm moving on. And so that's why spending the time to only apply for roles where your skills are the best fit, rather than the spray and pray, I think is called, approach to things. I think you're going to find more success that way. You're going to get more of a response rate because your past work will be more of a fit for what they're looking for from you for the future. Welcome to Design Life, a show about design and side projects for motivated creatives. My name's Charlie.
And I'm Femke. And we thought we'd do a timely episode today for folks out there who maybe you are looking for a new job, maybe you recently lost your job. We know it's a tough climate out there at the moment. And so we thought we'd do an episode about finding a job in 2024. Luckily, Charlie and I both have experience as hiring managers. Charlie, you more so than me. So I'm very curious to hear your advice to people on what should they be doing? How should they focus their portfolio, their application? Basically, we want to try and give you some good tips and takeaways as to what we think you should do to try and land a new job this year. Before we get into it though, our usual catch up. Charlie, you've been around the world. Tell us how you've been, what you've been up to.
Yes, by the time this episode comes out, because I know we had a few in the bank, I may have even been and come back from a trip to New Zealand as well, potentially. But yeah, I went to Mexico in February to see my team. Our work retreat happens twice a year. And this time, the beginning of the year one was in Mexico, which was lovely. Nice warm weather, white sand beaches, blue sea. We were in a resort that was like right on the beach as well. So that was really fun. Also, the sessions were good. Like, it was productive, but mostly I'm thinking about the beach. You know, that's fair enough. And then straight after that Mexico trip, I went to Paris for just like a weekend with my partner. That was fun too. But yeah, it has been a lot of moving around the place. So not a lot of progress on side hustles for me since the last time that we talked. How about you?
Yeah, I have not been doing as much travel as you have. I did take a little vacation for a long weekend, but we just drove 4 hours away. So nothing as exciting as traveling overseas. I just wrapped up cohort 3 of my course.
Woo!
I ran that throughout the month of February. And we just finished earlier this week, and the course reviews have been so amazing. I feel like with each cohort, I just managed to make it a little bit better and better because people give me such great feedback that I try to really take on board. So this cohort, I got a lot of really great reviews, a lot of 10 out of 10s, really positive feedback. So I'm feeling a little bit on cloud 9, to be honest. I'm feeling really good. Like, I ran a good cohort. So we'll see. I want to run another one later this year. I don't know when yet because summer is always really tricky. People are traveling. So I don't know. I'll have to see when, but I'm feeling pretty good about the last cohort.
I've seen you sharing screenshots of reviews on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine how good it must feel to get that feedback, to know that you're having an impact on folks in that way. Because there's so much content out there, right? And there's so many courses people could choose to take.
I know.
And I think that we owe it to our audience to provide something that is valuable. And that's what you've created with this, right? And we're seeing the proof of that in the reviews, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it feels very good. Let's get into the topic for today. I know you and I aren't necessarily in the position of looking for a new opportunity in 2024, but I'm curious, we can hear it from the other side as a hiring manager. For you especially, I know you've done quite a bit of hiring over the last few years at ConvertKit. I don't know if you're hiring this year. If you are, you should share, but what are you kind of looking for? What's kind of your hot tips, your big key takeaways and pieces of advice for folks who are trying to get a job in this year?
Yeah, I love that we're doing this topic because I think that this could be a one-stop episode. We've done so many about portfolios, case studies, interviews, etc. over the years. So let's try and make this super packed with advice so that people only have to listen to this one thing and feel prepared for their job hunt. I love the idea of that. I will be hiring this year. I'm really excited about it. Getting to add a new designer to my team. Again, because I'm not sure when this episode goes live, that role may have already been posted and it may even have already closed. Unsure, but if it's still open, I'll leave it in the show notes for sure. I'm going to be looking for a senior brand designer to join my team and sort of own our brand design systems, evolving our brand assets, marketing assets, all of that type of thing, which will be really cool to add to the team. I have been involved in a lot of hiring campaigns recently for other roles in the company. And yeah, like you said, I've been the hiring manager for roles onto my team before in the past. And what I'm expecting when I open this role this year is that I'm going to get even more applications than I ever have for any other role because of the current state of the market. And I've seen that happen with other roles that, you know, being hired for on the ConvertKit team at the moment as well. There's just like a lot of volume. And so that's one thing to realize if you're a job hunter in 2024 is, especially if you're applying for a remote job, and especially if it's a remote job that hires outside the US, which is getting rarer these days, you are going to be one of not just dozens, but hundreds of people applying for that role. And so standing out in your portfolio, standing out in your cover letter, the questions, like whatever it is the application process looks like, that is worth your time if it's a role that you really want. I don't think that we're going to see the, you know, let me just put the same templated response out there to 100 different roles and see what bites I get. I think that you'll have much more success if you focus on just like 10 roles and actually put effort into the applications. You'll stand out a lot more. That'd be the first thing I'll say, is like expect to be in there in a sea of hundreds of other applications.
I agree. And I couldn't agree more that standing out is important now more than ever. I feel like before you could kind of get away with if you just had one good thing, like, oh, your case studies are really good, but maybe your website's kind of blah and like your resume is okay, but you've got really good case studies. That's not going to cut it anymore. I feel like you need to have the full package now. You need to have really tight portfolio, good case studies, a strong resume, good communication skills, a good like strong worded application. I think people are really looking for that full package. And my theory on why that is happening is because there are so many people looking for work at the moment that companies can be super, super choosy about who they want.
Oh yeah.
Because chances are somewhere out there is the exact right person for the job. Probably somebody who has the perfect amount of experience they're looking for. They've probably worked in that similar industry or space before. They've got case studies that are super applicable, or a skill that they are really lacking on their team that they really want. And so at the moment, I see companies willing to wait almost for the right and perfect person to come along for a role. And I think this ties in nicely with what you were also suggesting, Charlie, about kind of less is more, like applying for only 10 rather than hundreds of roles. Because if you can be really, really targeted and really specific in the roles you're applying for, I think you're going to have a much higher chance of success than cold emailing out for hundreds of different roles where there's not really an obvious fit.
Yeah, the fit is really important. And because that is being judged really quickly, right? With hundreds of applications, someone can't spend even more than 5 minutes on an application. That's too many minutes to be spending going through the applications. And your portfolio site especially, a judgment is being made over whether you could potentially be the right for this role in 30 seconds or less. Probably less. Maybe it's more like 15, honestly.
Totally.
If I'm hiring for a web design role and I click your portfolio and I do not see in any thumbnails of your projects that you're displaying a website, I'm leaving your portfolio site. I'm sorry. That's just the way that it goes, because I know that I've got like 300 other applications to go through. And if you're not showing me a website when I first land on your portfolio, you're telling me I don't specialize in this. And I'm saying I need someone to specialize in that skill. And so I'm moving on. And so that's why spending the time to only apply for roles where your skills are the best fit, rather than the spray and pray, I think is called, approach to things. I think you're going to find more success that way. You're going to get more of a response rate because your past work will be more of a fit for what they're looking for from you for the future.
Totally. Okay. It sounds like we're in agreement there around almost like niching down and picking a few roles or a few companies that you are going to be a good fit for. What about the actual like application? Do you have any recommendations for folks? Should they be trying to reach out to someone that works there? Should they just be cold applying? Should they be personalizing their email to you? Like, what are some things that you would recommend folks focus on there?
Well, first of all, is to read how to apply carefully and follow those instructions. There's been some roles at ConvertKit where they're like a public-facing role, and we've asked people to record a video introduction to yourself as part of it, like a short Loom video, 2 minutes or whatever. Like, I think our social media role, for example, is one we did that for. And the amount of people who just didn't submit a video, we were like, okay, well, you didn't read the instructions, or like, I don't know, you decided it wasn't worth your time, but we've got all these other people over here who have submitted a video who we can really really like contextualize them and their experience more because they've followed these instructions and we're getting to like hear it from them, we're going to move forward with those people. We also have questions on each application. For example, some questions that I asked the last time I hired for a design role onto my team was like, what's a company whose design you admire or something like that? And then we wanted to hear their inspirations. What are they looking at out there in the industry? I think that writing a cover letter is still valuable, but not like a Mad Libs one where you're like, I'm a team player and I'm a hard worker. And, you know, you're using those more generic type words in it. Really writing a cover letter for a small remote role like the company I work at anyway, I want to feel like I'm hearing from a person. And that does honestly stand out from the folks who feel like they've used a cover letter AI generator.
Totally. I actually think that is a super smart way for you as a hiring manager to kind of like filter out or weed out the people who aren't taking the role seriously, right? Like if you're taking the role seriously, you're going to read the application process and the job description 100%. And so I think it's kind of smart of you to chuck in like a little extra step to kind of filter out who's not paying attention and who's not taking this seriously, especially when, to your point, you might be getting hundreds of applications these days. So yeah, I like that. Good tip. Definitely a good piece of advice. Read and prepare as much as you can.
I will say too that it's not even like it's a trying to catch you out type thing. Like it's all very obvious and very there. And when people choose not to,
that says something, right?
Yeah, it is telling. It does. And I've heard folks say or like express frustration that you have to go through so many steps to apply for a job and saying like, look, my work should speak for itself. And I get it. I get where you're coming from with that. But like I said, when you're in a sea of hundreds, there's got to be something more to try and like filter out and try to figure out who is the best fit for the job, right? Especially for much more senior, maybe like principal, staff, or like manager roles. I can understand that being the case more. But for junior to even midweight senior roles, I think that this sort of thing, you should expect it. And it's just the state of the industry that we're in. For better or worse, this is what we're working with. And so get on board if you want to get the job.
Yeah. I think that is fair. We talked a little bit about standing out. Are there examples or applications you've seen in the past that really stood out to you? I'd love to talk about like some things people could do to try to stand out a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is just making your good taste as a designer apparent through your resume, through your website. That goes a long way. Don't be afraid to add a bit of personality in there. Obviously, we want to be able to see your work first and foremost, but your portfolio itself can be showcasing you and your work. So if you want to put personality into the design of it, that can be a way to stand out. But honestly, you can stand out with a super plain portfolio too. If the like screenshots, thumbnails of your work are super polished and they look super great, that truly does stand out because you are not competing against hundreds of other top class designers when you're applying for these roles. There's a lot of folks out there shooting the shot, which I appreciate. I'm like, go you, get your name out there. You try your luck. But I think that designers who have polish side of things down are still kind of harder to come by. And so if you can demonstrate you've got that, I think that's a way to stand out. But I'm speaking very much from like a brand and marketing design side of things here, Fem. So I'm curious to know what you think or what you would look for from a product perspective, where the visuals perhaps are not the thing that the designer you're hiring might even own. They might be working on more of the UX side and, you know, making use of a design system. So what do you look out for? What would stand out to you?
That's an interesting comment because I think it really makes sense in your context when you're hiring for brand. Like your website is a example of...
It's your brand. Yeah.
Exactly. That is a piece of work in itself, right? So I can totally understand why that is so important. I would say from the product design side, it still is very important, your website, your portfolio. I would say like the branding element of it, less so. I think what I more look for in a website or a portfolio is visual design quality, like level of craft. Are you able to use white space appropriately? Are things really balanced? Are things clean, polished? Is your typography clear, legible, easy to read? Is it responsive? Are you thinking about how this works across different breakpoints? Those are the things that I more look out for. It's very obvious the people who have gone the extra mile, because then you start to see things on the website like subtle animations or transitions or just those nice, like delightful, integrated, thoughtful design moments that suddenly turn browsing your website into an experience. Those are hard to come by, but when you come by one, man, does that catch my attention. And I think also some of this is related to the platform people are using to build and host their websites. I'm just going to say it. If you're hosting your website on Wix or Squarespace, it's pretty obvious. Very templated websites that look very similar to others. If you're someone who's custom designing and building your website in a tool like Framer or Webflow, immediate thumbs up. I can usually tell. I feel like I've got a good eye now for sort of telling like how someone's created their website. And honestly, it does matter. I can tell who's putting in that extra layer of polish, that extra layer of craft and care. Those are the things that stand out to me. Like, is your website an experience?
I like that framing of it. Is it an experience? And I think that you can definitely 100% you can land a job with a Wix or a Squarespace portfolio. Don't feel like we're saying you can't. But we're talking in this episode about like making it through that application process, right? Like landing the interview, standing out, being able to get recognized by the hiring manager, by the folks on the hiring team. And yeah, having something that doesn't look like everything else that they've seen, you know, all the hundreds of other sites they've clicked through that day. That's the definition of standing out.
Yeah, no, that's good clarification, definitely. So yeah, I think the website is still very important, even if you're a product designer. I know case studies is a mammoth topic these days, especially in the product design sense. I don't know. I go back and forth a little bit on my opinion on case studies. I do think you're going to need to have them. I would at this point in this market focus a lot on the quality of the visuals. I think the storytelling of the case studies can be saved for an interview. So I would almost use your portfolio website as like the doormat to your work. So like you don't need to write a 1,000-word case study. Instead, just get like a showcase up. Show me some really exciting, high quality visuals of what you've designed. Obviously, include a little bit of a description of what the project is, maybe the impact or like the success, the results. But honestly, I don't expect to see or read novels anymore in these case studies on your websites. Save it for the interview. Just get me hooked in and show me that you can do the job well.
I do still like to see a tiny bit of process stuff, or like more like iteration is what I like to see. Some of your decisions that you made.
Yeah.
But this is where we're talking about, like, you've really captured my attention if I'm at the stage where I'm looking and curious about your iterations. And so I agree with you, Fem, that those high quality visuals is the most important thing for a case study these days.
Definitely. Okay, what about like finding roles? And I know LinkedIn is like super popular these days for finding roles. Any thoughts on like networking or tapping into your existing network or referrals versus just like Googling for open roles? What would you suggest there for folks?
100%. If you have someone in your network who is hiring or know someone who is hiring, then you should try and get an introduction through them, or at least have them mention your name. These days, with so many candidates applying for roles, anything you can do to stand out, and if you've got a personal connection somehow, some way, then definitely make use of it. I would say that sometimes it can be hard. Like, I've been asked by some folks to like, oh, I'm applying to this company. I know some people there. And I'm like, yeah, but it's a completely different team that you're trying to get a job on. And I'm like, I don't know how much good it's going to be for me to tell, you know, the person on the marketing team who I know at this like 1,000-person company that you're applying for a role on a different team. Be mindful of that, but hey, why not try? Shoot your shot and see if anyone in your network has an in. Not that you're expecting them to make an introduction personally. You know, you got to go through the hiring process and all of that, respect the company's time in that way. But yeah, if someone internally mentions, you know, this happens at ConvertKit, we're like, oh, look out for so-and-so. They just applied for the whatever role. And, you know, I chatted with them on social media and they seem like they could be a good fit. That person's application will probably be given that extra 30 seconds of review, you know, and sometimes that's what it can take to get you move forward to the next stage of the process. What do you think?
Totally. Yeah, I think any in you have is definitely valuable. And this is why I believe networking is so important and something we should be always doing, right?
Yes, not just when you're looking for a job.
Totally. Because if you just leave it to when you're looking for a role, it's going to be kind of awkward and pretty difficult. And so I would encourage folks to join communities, be active, participate in these circles, in these groups online, so that when the time does come, because at some point it comes for all of us, right? Whether we've lost our job and it's our choice or not, at some point the time will come when you're ready for a new opportunity. And that network you've built is going to be really, really helpful.
Yeah, so valuable. Absolutely. I want to bring up another piece of advice here, in that I found myself looking at this creator on Instagram the other day, and I was like, oh, when I open up this next designer role, I wish that every single person who had applied could have seen this content. And you know this content too, fam. It is Rosie from Badass Careers. That's her username.
Oh my gosh, I love Rosie. She is so great.
Yep, she is so great. The advice she gives is spot on. I always watch her reels as a hiring manager and I'm like, yep. Would love it if most of the applications I was reading did that. So I highly recommend you go, like, I mean, we've given very general advice here, right, of things to look out for. But Rosie gives great examples, and she'll like break down, like, here's something more vague that everyone says versus here's how you could make it more personalized to you and like really stand out in the role. And I seriously do watch her reels and I'm like, oh man, I wish more people had seen this, because it would make my hiring manager life so much easier. Or harder, because if everyone was doing it, then, you know, I'd have my work cut out of me.
That's true. Her advice is so good, though. And it's not just related to like design career. You could take her advice and apply it to any industry, but she just gives such great practical tips and advice for how to reword or rephrase, or how to communicate, how to present yourself online. I highly recommend. I'm glad you brought her up, actually. I hadn't thought of her for this episode, but it's really great tie-in.
Yeah, it's become the first thing that I think about when thinking about like applying for a job or application process. I'm like, please just go watch Rosie's content.
Go watch Rosie's stuff. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to bring up, I'm curious actually for your opinion on this, is let's call them like extracurriculars. So if you're someone who...
Ooh, could you say side hustles?
Yeah. So if you're someone who has a side hustle, or maybe you're really active in like hackathons, or you've won some kind of award, you know, anything that's kind of on the side of a job, but definitely related to your career and your growth. What are your thoughts on that? If someone has some of those things, does that help them stand out? Is that something that you think is really important to have?
I wouldn't say I think it's really important to have, but I think it can definitely help you stand out. And I know this because I know that that's how I've gotten several jobs in my career, is that not only was I applying for a design job and here's my design work, but also I make content about design and I talk about my process and this is my YouTube channel. I think if I was applying for a job now, that'd be even stronger now that I have inside marketing design, right? A potential future hiring manager would see, oh, I'm out there actively learning from my peers in the industry, and I've got all these connections to all these peers that I can go to and, you know, ask for advice when I run into a challenge. That's freaking valuable in a team member, and my content is showing that. And so if I saw something similar from someone in a role that I'm hiring for, absolutely, it would stand out.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm trying to think, I don't want to downplay the effort or the value of side hustles and things like that. But it's almost as if what I care about more is not necessarily how successful the thing is that you did, but just the fact that you have initiative to do it, right?
Yes.
Maybe you started a design Instagram account and it's got like 400 followers. It's obviously not super popular. It's very small, but that's not really what matters to me. What matters to me is that you're doing it. Like, you're taking the initiative. That shows to me you're someone who takes initiative. You're really proactive. You care about teaching, about learning and growth. That is more what it communicates to me and what I find really valuable and what interests me, rather than like the success of the thing, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. And I will say as well that I think that you'll be more successful using these side projects as part of your job application, or like, you know, presenting yourself as a candidate, if you've started them, not just because you're looking for a job.
Totally. Yes.
If it's the thing that gets someone interested in you, it's bound to come up in an interview, and it's going to look bad if you're like, oh yeah, that Instagram account, I just started it the other day because I wanted to have a side project on my resume, you know, versus, oh, it came out of this true desire to share what I'm learning, or I was really curious about this thing, so I dove in and I like made this thing to explore the skills in it or whatever. It does stand out. How I want folks to take this advice is us saying, hey, if you already tinker with things in your spare time, it doesn't even need to be about building an audience. Anything you're creating because you're genuinely curious and passionate about design, mention it, because it could be the thing that helps you stand out, because your passion will truly show through. And I know that passion is a cliche these days, but you know, them's the breaks, and this is honest, yeah.
No, I agree. I would 100% include that on your website and your application and make it clear and obvious. Make it shine, right? Don't like stick it at the bottom of your about page or whatever. Make sure that that really shines through in your website. It definitely is something that will capture my attention a little bit. If I'm comparing someone who has that versus someone who doesn't, naturally my attention will probably draw to the person who is doing that because I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? So I do think it can help to stand out. But to your point, Charlie, I do think it is important that you do it with integrity and it's honest and it's something you've already been doing or like you have a genuine passion or excitement for rather than like, I'm just going to do this for now to make me stand out.
Yeah. And I think a reason that it intrigues us so much as hiring managers is that it does take a lot of self-motivation to create something outside of a project you've been assigned for work. You know, it's great to have a self-motivated team member. And so little sparks of that is really interesting.
Totally. Any other ideas, any other advice or things that come to mind to kind of wrap up this episode? I feel like we've gone through a pretty good list.
Yeah, we've gone through knowing that you're going to be in a sea of hundreds, the application process, your portfolio, case studies. Maybe it'll give some people a sigh of relief to hear that we're not recommending they write 1,000 word case studies, but instead just like present a much more condensed version of the story, maybe mostly through screenshots. One last thing I'll say is that protect your mental health as you go through this job hunting process. It's tough out there. I don't know from experience personally because I have been employed at the same company for many years now, but I've got many, many peers and like friends in the industry who have been laid off or like are job hunting for, you know, various different reasons over the past 6 months to a year, and it can take time. So take care of yourself through the process, really lean on your network and like allow your friends to commiserate with you when you get a rejection or like celebrate with you if you get a response or even some feedback, not even necessarily an interview. Preparing that this is going to be a difficult thing because of the state of the industry that we're in and doing what you need to do to take care of yourself through that time, having support, having breaks, and just remembering that this is not a reflection of you and your worth as a designer, that it's taking so long to land a job. It's a reflection of the industry and the like weird ass state that we're in.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I agree. I think if you're in this position, it doesn't mean you're a bad designer. It's the state of the industry right now. I have peers who have been in this industry for 15 plus years, like super senior staff folks, and even they are struggling with this. They have been laid off or are trying to find a new opportunity and hitting some of the roadblocks that we're all hearing about. So you're not alone. It's not just you. It's not personal. And we do empathize a lot with how difficult it is at the moment.
Yeah, and it's like you said right at the beginning, Fem, that it's right now with the current market, employers can be very picky and look for someone who's like the exact right fit for this role. And so remember that too, that if you get a rejection, it doesn't mean that you weren't good enough or you didn't meet their standards. It just means that they found someone who had a better fit experience for exactly what they were looking for. And you can't change that. Like, you can't change the experience you've had in the past and that someone else had something that happened to be a better fit for this role. Yours is going to be a better fit for a different role. And so it's about finding what that role is. And I hope for anyone out there listening who is job hunting, keep your head up and keep going because you will find the right role for you eventually.
Good note to end on. Good luck to everyone out there who is looking for something new this year. We'd love to know how it goes. Like if this episode helped you in some way land a role, that would be so cool to hear about.
Yes, please.
We would truly love to hear that. So you can always email us hello@designlife.fm. Or if you have a topic suggestion for us to chat about on the show, please let us know.
Yes, and definitely go follow Rosie Badass Careers on Instagram. I'm just going to give her another shout out because yeah, for sure. That's some useful content there that'll help you along your way. And I feel like we are helping you by directing you to her content.
Totally, totally. All right, we'll chat next time. Thanks, Charlie, for all the tips.
Yeah, sounds good. You too, fam. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.